Welcome to the Opawa Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, visit us on any Sunday or online at opawa.org.nz.
Proverbs 18 verse 14 tells us the spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit who can bear? A broken spirit is a spirit without hope. The loss of hope is a terrible thing. Without hope, life's troubles bring discouragement, depression, despair, and even death. We can bear the doctor's frightful diagnosis with hope for a cure. We can endure the separation from a loved one with hope for a reunion. We can endure certain death with the hope of eternal life and the infinite joy in the presence of God forever. But where no hope exists, we're undone. Does this world live in hope or despair? Just going to have five little PowerPoints, which I think will show you where we've been the last year and where this year could even head. So Boris has got it sorted. Trump's going. And climate. All these things. It doesn't paint a particularly hopeful picture for us in these days. A lot going on, and this year hasn't started off too positively either. I've been thinking about the despair of hope, especially among so many young people whose lives appear to be trapped by circumstances which they don't like, which they didn't choose, which they have become a prison. I'm thinking of the desperate plea which came from a talented young woman in her mid-20s, resourceful, a university graduate who is fluent in several languages, and she wrote, "I don't understand what's going on inside me. I simply don't have the desire to go on living. I feel like I'm emotionally very tired and exhausted. When I go to bed at night, I simply don't want to wake up the next morning because everything will be the same. No changes inside and outside. I don't know what's going on." She's not alone, believe me. Thousands and thousands of youth today in every corner of the world are despairing of hope. And we have one of the highest suicide rates among young people in New Zealand. And they are not alone either. Their numbers include businessmen whose corporate failures bring shame and disgrace, housewives and house husbands who hide their drinking yet take refuge in the desensitization which alcohol brings, and older people who have retired and now say, "Is this all there is to life? Have I worked all my life only to end up with broken health, no friends and companions, and nothing to live for?" Why do people feel this despair? Well, one of the reasons might be that we tell them that this life is all there is, that they're here through chance, no design, no loving creator. We're no different than any other animal. And when we die, the end. What is there to hope in? Well, some people say science is our hope. Trust in the science. You'll hear that phrase quite often. Trust in the science. Wait for the science. But science has failed us many times in the past, and it will fail us again. Science can only give a short bit of hope. It's not certain. What about governments? Well, yes, we have a pretty good government. We have a very astute prime minister. But they will also break their promises. They will not give us all the answers for the future. We can't put our hope in governments. Education. If we educate everyone, the world will be better. Education might change our minds or enlighten our minds, but it won't change our lives. In Job 8, verse 11, it says, "Those who forget God have no hope." The world can seem to offer a type of hope, but it's not certain. Now, let's look at this word hope. The word hope generally expresses two different ideas. The more common meaning, especially outside the Christian context, entails wishful thinking, the desire for something we might not receive. For instance, we may hope for a new job, or pray and hope for good health while not knowing if we will receive them. We may hope for a better day, but not know what a day may bring. Most of us are hoping for a better 2021. Now, there is nothing wrong with hoping for short-term goals. They spur us along. They help us to keep going. They're great motivational tools. Sometimes it's just good positive thinking. However, they are short-lived and unreliable. Herein lies a bit of a paradox of hope. It is the times when it is the hardest to find that we need it the most. Now, the second meaning of hope refers to a desire for something we are certain to receive, and assurance concerning the future. Hebrews 11 says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." This is Christian hope. Now, I'd like to give just a bit of a backstory to this. 2,000 years ago, we've just celebrated this, a bit over 2,000 years ago, a baby was born, accompanied with the announcement from angels that he would save his people from their sins, that he would bring joy, peace, and goodwill. Today, we live in a world teeming with meanness, hampered by hostility, plagued with plagues, rampant with rioting, ill with injustice. Where is the joy? Where is the peace? The peace and joy announced then was not accomplished instantaneously. In fact, looking at the life, public career, and the gruesome death of this Savior who grew up and was killed by his political enemies, one could wonder if the promises announced at his birth were just hollow. He taught peace, he taught love, he railed against injustice. But in the end, the opponents, the injustice, the forces of power, wealth, evil won, didn't they? There was actually one other element that Jesus brought, and he did so with credibility beyond what any politician or social engineer could ever credibly bring. He rose from the dead. The nails, the spear, the spitting, the mocking did not have the final word. He got up from the grave, exited the tomb, and thus brought hope. Because the baby grew up, because that baby represented not just an announcement from God, but the entry of God into the situation and circumstance of sin, because that person of God not only provided a solution in theory, but participated in that solution, because that Savior not only died, killed unjustly by cruel hands of injustice, but overcame that death, and with that overcoming, commissioned the launch of a mission of overturning the tables of injustice, reversing the tides of cruelty and selfishness until he comes back, not to begin the job, but to finish the job. Because of all this, we have hope. When in the Genesis story, Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, did God stay there in paradise, wandering the empty groves, sadly wishing it had never happened? No, of course he didn't. When they left the garden, God went with them. Every story and history and the rest of the Bible declares that to be true. And in John 4, it says there that Jesus moved into our neighborhood. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have hope. But how are we getting this message out into a world that desperately needs hope? How do we get the world to hear? Now, I believe there are a number of reasons why we don't seem to be getting this message out into the world today, into this generation. First one is, unfortunately, the message of the church is often lost in the cacophony of mixed messages. The world hears messages of sexual abuse within churches, abuse of positions of power, judgmentalism, prosperity gospels over our TV, and a close alignment between parts of the church and certain political forces in the USA. It's very confusing for the world when it hears all these different messages. And secondly, the message is lost in translation. We speak a language that the world doesn't even understand. Most people growing up have little idea what this resurrection thing's all about. They don't even understand what Christians historically have believed in. And certainly no idea that we have good news offering hope. And thirdly, I wonder whether a lot of us have lost confidence in the good news. What is our message? How do we tell it to a world not interested in what Christians say? You see, the world is skeptical of what we say because our words don't always match our deeds. I think Christians need to rethink how they share this good news. We need to have a rethink. We need to stop thinking that our buildings, our Sunday service, paid professionals, that this will penetrate the minds and hearts of the world today. I believe we need each one of us living our faith, sharing our life in our places of work, neighbourhoods, and places of interest. Christians must follow the example that Jesus gave. In Luke 4, Jesus said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God." That was his primary purpose in this world. Jesus came speaking and living the good news of the kingdom of God. That's our message as well. The world needs to hear this good news because it is life-transforming. It offers real hope. But I wonder, as I said, whether we have lost the confidence in the good news. Do we really believe it is still good and it's still news? Maybe you love God. You've met Jesus in worship and through the ministry of other Christians. You've seen how God can change people's lives. You're inspired by Scripture's potential to transform lives. You carry this hope with you as you seek to follow Jesus at home, at work, and in your networks. If only the blessings you have experienced could ripple out to others. You can't wait for the church to make more of a public difference, to enrich people and bring the gospel to them. You long for the church to find new ways of connecting with the 21st century and to speak a language that reaches contemporary people. For a Christian, not making an impact can feel especially uncomfortable. You know you are called to live distinctively, to bring good news to others. You might describe this as being salt and light in the world, or being a loving presence, or witnessing to Jesus, or living out the kingdom of God. Yet when you review your life, you feel dissatisfied with the amount of difference you make. Perhaps feeling powerless is what holds you back. Problems in the news seem way beyond your ability to help. You feel like an insignificant brushstroke on a huge landscape. Your energy just seems to ebb away. I believe that we have to reorientate ourselves again to what this good news is. We need to believe that it is good news and that the world needs to know. And then we need to translate that message into a language that today's world understands. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, when David was gathering together his right-hand men, he said this: "We need people who understand the times and what the people of God should do." We need people who understand the times and what the people of God to do. We need that today, I believe. I wonder if God is speaking to us and saying that the world today needs to hear the message of hope. The good news is more than just God loves you, although it is that. It's more than come and have eternal life, although that is definitely true. The good news is about an historical event that actually happened a bit over 2,000 years ago. Jesus proclaimed something that was good and was news. Christianity is simply good news. It is the news that something has happened as a result of which the world is a different place. Paul tells us what this good news is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Messiah died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. This is the message that we need to share to the world. It is difficult for us in the 21st century to realize just what a challenge for belief the death of Jesus was for first century Christians. The cross as a symbol of Christianity is so common in our culture, it's become a cliche. Every church has got one. It's part of the familiar furniture of our belief. A symbol of torture and violent death has become a symbol of religion. In the first century, it was different. Crucifixion still happened. It was the standard punishment for terrorists, murderers, and rebels. Those who died in this way were violent men who had been explicitly rejected, not only by their society, but also by every decent person. The very way the execution was carried out was designed to demonstrate that to the world. And yet Christians proclaimed that a man who had been executed in this way was no less than the Messiah, God's chosen deliverer, the bringer of judgment and grace to all the world. Now we need to be honest here. If the death of Jesus was shameful, then the story of the resurrection is absurd. Let us be clear about this. When we talk of the resurrection, we are dealing with something that sits completely outside the range of possibility. If it happened, it constitutes a boundary-breaking event, that something utterly changes the way we think about everything. If a human being rose again from the dead, then nothing in the way we understand the world can be the same. The Apostle Thomas is sensible, practical, and has his feet firmly on the ground. He knows what every sane person knows. Dead men do not come back to life. And when, at last, the risen Lord does appear to him personally, he, among all the disciples, knows precisely what it must mean. He says, "My Lord and my God." And with that startling identification, John concludes his gospel. The good news of Jesus has nothing about it that is either acceptable or explicable in terms of human religion, or indeed in terms of human thought at all. We are dealing with the outrageous, the impossible, and the true. These are the fingerprints of the Creator God acting to remake the world. The resurrection of Jesus declares that God remains totally unwavering in his purpose for the good of humankind. In the resurrection, we understand that there is nothing we human beings can do that can stop God loving us. Knowing the risen Jesus changes everything for us. We need to allow it to. Allowing hope to seize our lives is something that we need to do. God's hope is not some pious idea that might console us in the tough times, as if to say, life may be filled with grief right now, but we're all going to get to heaven one day. It completely transforms our attitudes, our priorities, and our relationships now in the present. Life has meaning. Nothing is unimportant. Nothing is wasted. Whatever happens on the journey of life, we have a future with God. In the light of this hope, we are to live with confidence now. It transforms everything that we do. Our life from now on will never be the same. People who believe in the resurrection and God making a whole new world in which everything will be set right at last are unstoppably motivated to work for the new world in the present. That is what kingdom living is about. Life is a journey, and just like some people don't seem to enjoy journeys when on holiday, all they want to do is get to their destination, they miss the wonderful views and the experiences. It's the same with many Christians. All they want to do is get to the destination. But we are here for the journey. God has a job for us now, not just in the new heaven and new earth. When we do come to the end of the journey, though, when we take those last steps in the company of the Lord who has walked the way before us, we find that death is a doorway. Jesus has proved it. And this is why hope is no illusion. It's no illusion because the promising God himself comes to us now. That is why we can journey on in hope, because the God in whom we hope travels with us. Christian hope always starts with faith and love. Our hope starts with faith. Life-changing faith that is demonstrated through a sacrificial outpouring of love. But it is hope in the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, that motivates us to live like Jesus, to live kingdom lives. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. He told parables in order to paint a picture of what it's like, so that people might see just how upside down it looks by comparison to the worldly powers and human governments. Jesus taught that members of his new family participate in kingdom living by becoming less important, not more, through weakness and humility, not bullying and pride. And that, after all, is what the Lord's Prayer is about. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Following Jesus is not about the power of positive thinking, or that we avoid the effects of a fallen world. He does not remove the pain or difficulties of living, the broken promises of loved ones or the dreams that are crushed, but he does enter into those situations with us. God feels our pain and hurt. God goes with us into the hate, the fear, the lostness, and the pain. Jesus suffered on the cross what we suffer, but his suffering was also God's suffering. God's suffering on behalf of this world, his world. God's own journey into the dark to find us, to catch us up in his arms, and to bring us home. For a world that wants good news, or that needs good news, we, as followers of the risen Messiah, have a duty or as Paul says, a debt to fulfill in telling and living this good news. That which happened over 2,000 years ago is relevant for today because it says that everything has changed now. We are living between the announcement and the final realization when heaven comes to a new or recreated earth. We have someone to hope in. Not something, but someone. Life has meaning and a purpose now and in the future. We are living in the now of our eternal hope, and it's worth telling people about that. So our hope is in a person, the person of our risen Lord. Perhaps all this talk of hope makes you realize that you do not have this assurance of hope, or even that you do not have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you have not been sure what the good news actually was, but you now want to know this hope and the person behind this hope. And so I invite any that want to talk about this some more to come up after the service and have a chat. It doesn't matter who you are, where on life's journey you are, how many mistakes you have made, or how messy your life seems. Jesus has room for you, and his love can wash over you. And because of his hope, you can start living a resurrected life. Amen.